Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 4, ending in verse 12, where we see that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He would like nothing more than for you to think that God is mad at you or that you are too far gone to repent and draw close to the Lord. But nothing could be farther from the truth. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4.
The writer here is being hypothetical. There's the idea that these people were worried that they are indeed going to lose their salvation. Because the writer just lambasted them in some senses. He basically said, you're immature, you're not growing up, you're not moving on in the things of the faith. And it's almost though he's responding to their reaction. Like, oh no, are we going to lose our salvation? So he entertains that idea, and he takes it to the extreme and says, oh yeah, you know, you're going to lose your salvation. How can that even be possible? You've been enlightened, you've been a partaker, you've tasted of the good works of God's word and heavenly gifts, and you've participated in the moving of the Holy Spirit. It would be impossible for you to ever repent if that's actually what could happen. You'd never be able to be renewed again to the faith. So yeah, that's crazy. But beloved, you've been accompanied by salvation. So he basically moves through that. I don't know. I'm not sure. That could be. Those who have discrepancy with that one say, well, the issue is that two-thirds at least of Hebrews is full of serious warnings of judgment. Why would the writer play around here? I don't know. I don't think that the writer is playing around. I think that the writer, if you're going to entertain that conclusion, is just simply saying that if you want to go that way, he's just writing it out for you to show you how ridiculous it is. What do we do when we come to a portion of scriptures like this? We don't forfeit what we do know for what we don't know. We don't take a text, at least I don't believe that you should, isolate the text and build dogmatic doctrine on just one portion of scriptures. I always look for what Jesus taught in the Gospels, for what Jesus exhibited in the Gospels, for what is reiterated or redone by the apostles in the book of Acts, and then emphasized upon in the epistles to build my doctrine. I look for expositional consistency. What do I see in God's word? Primarily from the beginning till the end. Here's what I see. Once saved, always saved. Here's what I see, that if you are in Christ and in his hand, no man will pluck you from it. Here's what I see. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Height, depth, breadth, width, not even yourself. No created thing can separate you from God's love. Here's what I see. He who has begun the good work in you, he will be faithful to perform it in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know experientially. Forget doctrinally, theoretically, and even theologically for just a moment. It was all Jesus from the get-go in my life. It was Jesus who went after me. It was Jesus who put desire in my heart to respond to his love. It was Jesus who changed me. It's Jesus who's changing me. It's Jesus who keeps me. It's his keeping power that I predicate my faithfulness to him upon. I can't keep myself. I can't even choose the right things. I lean on and I lean into the work of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. Completely and fully. I don't trust myself. I believe Jeremiah when he said that my heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? I can't even know my own heart. as much as I press into God, as much as I read his word every single day, as much as I fellowship with Christians, I am capable and susceptible of doing sin and committing sin and going back to sin. So to entertain the idea that I can choose to apostatize, which is a deliberate denunciation, a deliberate turning my back on a professed belief, the idea that I can do that when it never had anything to do with me from the get-go, to me is just not something I'm willing to swallow. Those who hold the Arminian theory, they suggest that it's not so much that you're losing your salvation, it's that you're leaving your salvation. I don't think you can leave your salvation. That's just me. I fall under the Reformed ideology here in that I just think it's all Jesus who has you. And if you're really his, he's never going to let you go. He's going to continue to feed your will to do with his good pleasure. Well, then those who hold this way of thinking, that this is Christians, would respond back, and maybe it's even you this morning, and they'd say, well, the issue here, Pastor, is the grammatical structure. Look at the description of those that are listed here. Enlightenment. Those who had been tasters of heavenly gifts, those who were partakers of the Holy Ghost, those who had tasted of the good word of God, and those who had tasted of the powers of the world to come. How could these be anything besides unbelievers? I think it's very simple to move through that. And so I will, and I'll teach it to you the way that I think it's supposed to be taught. These are people, I believe, who had experienced all of these spiritual privileges. They were brought to the threshold of salvation. The opportunity was given to them as clear as day for them to take the right step toward Jesus Christ, and they chose not to. For it is impossible. Not it is very difficult. Not it will be seriously hard. It is the same word that is used by the author of Hebrews. And listen, there's a lot of words that are used here in these verses that are not used anywhere else in the New Testament. So you're going to go and get your Strong's Concordance out, which you all should have, your good Bible students, and you're not going to find phrases and words any, they're unique to the text, which makes it incredibly difficult. But here, the word impossible is the word that the author uses when he says it's impossible for the blood of goats, right, to take away your sins. It's impossible that God lies. That's the word that's impossible here. It's literally impossible. It's never, ever going to happen that those who were once, and the structure there is once and once and for all, they had been enlightened. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you this. That word enlightened there is never used anywhere else in the New Testament for salvation. Enlightened there obviously means to have light go on. For light to expose darkness, for some type of flashlight or light bulb to bring light in areas that were once darkness and to expose. That could happen in a person's life who doesn't commit their lives fully to Jesus Christ. The light can go off. The word of God is a searchlight. You can be in our study right now, and God's word is going forth, and light shines on darkness, and that could happen in your life. That doesn't mean that you're a believer. That doesn't mean you're an embracer of what I'm giving to you. I can talk to you about your living conditions, your situations right now, and give light to your darkness. You came in with darkness, and I can give light to you. That doesn't mean that you're a participator of the light. To be exposed by the light doesn't mean that I'm walking in the light. You've been enlightened. How many people are churchgoers? And they've been churchgoers, and because they're churchgoers and they're in the hearing of the truth and the searchlight is constantly being shined forth upon their lives, right? They're products of this, that we've been enlightened, we've been enlightened, we've been enlightened. If you die and you go to my church and you die and you've been going here for some weeks, you will not be able to stand before God and say, I was in the dark, I didn't know. All I do is turn the searchlight on every time we gather together. Every time we gather together, I flick my flashlight on and I shine it forth. There will be no, well, I wasn't enlightened. You can be enlightened and not walk in the light. He says, those who are enlightened, those who had tasted of the heavenly gift. You think of all of the gifts that come from heaven. You think of the gift. Jesus calls himself in salvation in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well, that he is the gift to humanity. We're told by Paul to the church in Corinth that Jesus Christ and his salvation is the indescribable gift of God. You can taste of something, right, and not fully chew on it and swallow it and digest it. And the Arminian thinkers on this subject matter will say, well, Jesus tasted of death, the scripture says. Did he not fully participate in it? Of course he did. But Peter also says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Take a taste of it before you digest it and swallow it and eat it. I can refute that. You got to taste something before you chew something and swallow something. You can taste of God. You can taste of Jesus Christ and experience his goodness. You could taste of heavenly gifts and never be actually one who's fully received the gift. Absolutely. I don't find any issue here with the grammar that's used. I just find this scary, to be quite frank. I just find this very sobering, very heart-checking. If you're here this morning and you're putting stock on, well, I'm enlightened now. I know good from evil, right from wrong, right? I'm enlightened. I used to see darkly, now I see brightly. I'm enlightened. I've tasted of the heavenly gift. I've tasted of what it is to be saved. I've tasted of manifestations of God's goodness from glory. I've tasted of these things. We can put stock in these things, and we can find security in them when it's false security. This is my conviction. Tasted of the heavenly gift. They're partakers of the Holy Ghost. People say, there it is. There it is. Partaker of the Holy Ghost. Listen, partaker simply means a company of. It simply means companion of. Just because you're in the presence of the moving of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is in you. If you go to our church, you're in the presence of the moving of God's Spirit every week, because whenever Jesus is glorified, the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus said in John chapter 12, if I will be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. How does he draw all men to himself? By his Spirit. The word of God goes forth. Who's the author of God's word? God's Spirit. God's Spirit moves in this church every single week simply and solely because the word of God is unleashed. People get filled with the Spirit. People get saved. Listen, you can be in a company of that. You can be in a companion of the working of God's Spirit. The companion, the partaker of the work of the Holy Spirit is not one that necessarily, please hear me out on this, is not one who necessarily possesses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working alongside of you before you're even saved. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is in this world convicting the world of sin. He's alongside you. He's convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. That is nothing to boast about of your salvation. Well, I've experienced, I've been accompanied by, I've been a companion of the move of the Holy Spirit. All that is you testifying that you're a living being. That's God's faithfulness in your life. It's when the Holy Spirit takes residence within you. At the moment you confess Jesus Christ, his Spirit moves inside of you and lives in you to the day of redemption. Then you can have that blessed assurance. Oh, I've been enlightened. Oh, I've been a recipient of heavenly gifts. You know, oh, there's this, I'm a partaker of the Holy Spirit. I've been where the Holy Spirit moves. Tasted of the good word, fourthly, in verse 5. Hey, isn't God's word good sometimes? I mean, this ear this morning, if you're not in Christ, this is not a good word. This is a sobering word. But Psalm 23 is a good word, isn't it? Like if you come to a funeral that I do and I do Psalm 23 and I'm talking about your loved one who has died and gone to heaven and I'm talking about how it's a valley of a shadow of death, not actual literal death that we stay in, and I give all this encouragement. That's a good word, Pastor. I like that one. If I talk about how God loves you, he's loved you from Jeremiah. He's loved you with an everlasting love. And I talk about how there's nothing you can do to earn the love of God. That's a good word. I like that message of love, Pastor. Good stuff. Good. You can be a recipient, a participator, a taster of God's word and think it's good and still not be in Christ. Listen, I don't like preaching this any better than you like listening to this. But this is a faithfulness that God has called us to. In the giving and the hearing of his word. And we'll come to conclusion here in a moment. You've been those, fifthly and finally, in verse 5, who have tasted of the powers of the world to come, the age to come. That's speaking of the miraculous. You've tasted it. You've seen God do the miraculous. Listen, at the end of the day, he says this, though. If you fall away, not fall. Falling and falling away are two very different things. The righteous man falls 7 times. There's a difference between a Peter and a Judas. Okay, let's use those two guys for our illustration this morning. Peter was Christ, wasn't he? He messed up greatly. He blundered badly. He and Judas, they both denied the Lord. They both betrayed the Lord. But the difference is that Peter was the Lord's, and the Lord went after him and restored him. You can fall away. If this message is speaking of Christians and they're falling away, the condemnation is great. Because then there's this paranoia of, how can I ever get back to Christ again? Can I get back to Christ again? Is it impossible for me? Now, let me tell you this. If you're even worried about that this morning, if you're even thinking that way, this is not you. These are people that are apostate. These are people that are reprobate. These are people that are past feelings. They could sit in a sermon like this with their arms crossed and not hear or receive one thing that's going forth. They're not taking it to heart. They're not doing inventory. They're not checking themselves. They're simply sitting here stoically and coldly. If you're here this morning thinking, man, Lord, I've been enlightened. I've been a participator. I've been a partaker. I've been a taster. Lord, am I good here? That's good stuff. The Bible says you're to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's good stuff. The Bible says that you are to pray that you are found worthy to escape the wrath to come. I think that's healthy. I think it's a good self-check to move through. I put myself through this all week long. God, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be a part of this number. But I also want to tell you this, that the believer in Jesus Christ has absolute security. And if she doesn't, I don't know as though I want to do this. I don't know if I really want to pursue God and follow God and preach for God with all of my strength and with all of my might. If he doesn't have full keeping ability in my life, I put stock in. I put all the stock that I have that he who has begun the good work is going to be the finisher of it. Because there's no way I'm going to run this race of long obedience in the same direction. There's no way that I'm not going to go to the left and go to the right from time to time. There's no way that I can be all that Christ has called me to be fully apart from his Spirit. And keeping power, his strong and mighty outstretched arm. You know what I'm saying? Let's just keep it real for a moment. Isn't that the truth? It doesn't matter how much willpower you have. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you have memorized. We are all like Peter. Time to time, I go fishing. I'm done. I quit. I can't. But we always come back because he always brings us back. He always brings us back. I'm a prodigal. I was a prodigal. I was in the world. Jesus went after me. I did not just come to my senses one day on my own and say, well, you know what? I'm sick of this dry and thirsty land. I didn't know Psalm 63 said that. I didn't know the Bible like I knew it now. I just know that God changed my desires, gave me new taste buds, and all of a sudden I woke up parched. And the Holy Spirit, through his kindness leads us to repentance, drew me back to full restoration. And it's been an active work of the Spirit of God since. So I'm a little defensive of this topic. I take this very personal. And I don't want one person here this morning that is truly in Christ that's feeling conviction right now to think that they can't repent. The devil wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you, I told you you should have never come. It is impossible for you to be repentant and right before God again. No, 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 no. There's a difference between a Peter and a Judas. This is Judas. And this is the thing that only God knows when a person comes to. I believe. We can't even scan the room right now and say, that person hasn't been here in a while. That person's been in the world. I've seen them at the bar. I've seen them down the road there at that brewery. I've seen them pounding beers. I've seen them committing adultery. I've seen them doing these deeds. They must be them. You have no clue who they and them are in this. Only God knows. I don't think that one of the other 11 apostles would ever have known that it was Judas. They had no clue. They had no clue at the Last Supper when he dipped his bread in the sop and he handed it to Judas. He said, that what you do, do quickly. They still had no clue even when Jesus said that. This is the thing that's between you and God. And it's scary for me. It feels eerie because I know I'm preaching to somebody and you know that it's you. You're a faker. You're a faker. You're not a Peter. You're a Judas. You didn't fall. You're falling away. And you're nigh to a place, I believe the writer is saying, of no return. I will not always strive with man, God says. I will not keep knocking at the door of a person's heart. When I know in my sovereign, infinite knowledge and wisdom that they are never gonna respond. Sovereignty of God, free will of man. How do they reconcile? I have no clue. All I know is that it's true. The Bible teaches the absolute sovereignty of God. The Bible teaches that it is impossible to even love God apart from God putting that love in your heart. We love him because he first loved us. It's only by his spirit bearing witness with our spirit that Jesus Christ is Lord that we can be saved. Romans chapter 8. That's all God. But I still have to, if any man will, I still have to exercise my free will toward his invitation. I don't know how the two fully reconcile. I just know that they do. And you know it too. God will knock. God will enlighten you. God will let you partake. God will let you experience. God will let you be accompanied by the Holy Spirit. He'll bring you right to the fringe. You're on the fringe this morning. But if you continue to resist and reject, you are so close to being reprobate, and only God knows when you come to that place of no return. It will be impossible for you to repent because you are crucifying Christ afresh.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.